Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. What do you want me to lead with here? I mean, we pretty much know it's another March. It's another year where all I've heard about for the last, 11 months is how great U of A is. It's all I've heard. Yeah, we're great. We've got this recruiting class that's number one or two or three in the nation. We are able to get all these great players. This is going to be our year. I have people at the U of A program, when Trier comes back, you don't know. Nobody's going to be able to touch us, one of them said to me. Nobody's going to be able to touch us. We are going to be in Glendale for sure. And once again, we are left to the only way you're going to be in Glendale is if you buy a ticket. So when you're an 8.5-point favorite, you should not be losing to Xavier, an 11 seed. And already the excuse making started. Well, they were misseeded. They were much better than the 11 seed. They lost six games in a row in February. When you win the Pac-12 regular season and you think it's cute to call a timeout with 0.9 seconds left at the Pac-12 tournament to send a message, you put bullseyes on your back. If you want to be humble and go about your business and not put things on your back, not have UCLA on Twitter last night saying, hey, Sean, you've got a timeout left at zero. Oh, no, you don't. So here we are left with trying to survey the wreckage of a number two seed losing again another year where they don't make it to the Final Four. The last time U of A was in the Final Four was with Lute Olson. And for those of you that haven't watched the show long, I didn't go to ASU. I don't care. I didn't go to U of A. I have no dog in the fight. It's just, it wears me out when I have, it's like Todd Graham in football talking about how great they were a couple of years ago, greatest team ever, and they're terrible. Terrible. So in U of A's case, yeah, they made it to the tournament, and they had a great regular season. And they have a lottery pick in Lauri Markkanen, who was non-existent at the end of the game last night. Now, is that Lauri Markkanen not wanting the ball or not wanting the big shot on the biggest stage? Or is it Sean Miller not drawing up things effectively to get the ball to him? When you live by the outside shot, you will die by the outside shot. And last night, guess what? U of A died by the outside shot. It's really interesting to me to see a program that has this stick the chest out mentality. I get that. I get that. You're very proud of your program. I also think it's somewhat humorous that people want to remove the head coach because Sean Miller's a good coach. U of A is a good program. They are not an elite program. You may say they are, but elite programs every now and again find a way to stumble into a Final Four. Find a way to get hot at the right time. Find a way to navigate through. They don't tell everybody how great they are and travel en masse and not deliver. That's not delivering last night. 2 minutes into the game, I'm sitting out in a public place watching the game with my wife and my daughter. And U of A is supposed to roll. The ball is inside to Ristic. The ball is inside to Markkanen. And they are blowing Xavier out. But what happened? The haymakers didn't connect. They calmed down. Chris Mack coached a great game. He got the better of Sean Miller. He drew up a great high-low play at the end of the game for an easy layup. Xavier takes the lead on an easy layup. U of A tries to win the game on a desperation three without timeouts left. So it's another year. And really, if you look at last night's games, okay, you look at last night's games, Oregon, Gonzaga, Kansas, how they won their games, it came down to last second shots by the opposition. And those last second shots by West Virginia and Michigan and U of A were not good. Look at all three of those final possessions. They were all desperation shots. Well, they rimmed out. Didn't work. Don't care. Well, that's a great look. No, it's from 23 feet away versus your opposition gets a layup on you. I just find it interesting that as the game wore on, I started to see the panic set in online. I started to see these long timers, and some of these are the same people that were railing on me because I threw it out there 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. I wrote, Sean needs to get to a Final Four. U of A needs to get to a Final Four. The Final Four is in Glendale this year. This isn't fairy tale stuff. He has a talented enough team. When I'm in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago, I'm told from top to bottom by people around the program, oh, this is a great team. We're going to go. We're going to roll. And instead, they lose to the lowest remaining seed. They were an 8.5-point favorite. They had the hometown crowd there. There was even a comment made by the Xavier players about how late the game went for body clocks. So, yeah, Trier and Markkanen, who knows what's going to happen in Markkanen's future? In my opinion, he should turn pro if he wants the money. I always like to see kids stay in school. I do. He's fun to watch. If he's Porzingis and Dirk tied into one, is it going to hurt him to have another year in Tucson? It doesn't make sense for Xavier fans. They're loving it. Now, this one is, this has got to be, of all the early exits of U of A through the years under Sean Miller, and when I say early exits, they're going to say, oh, well, we still made the tournament and we still had a great run. No, what I usually hear is, well, it's Wisconsin again, or it's Ohio State, or that's a bad draw. There's never like this, we just lost and that's it. But it's really interesting to me, too, how it immediately turns into, well, we just don't have the right coach. Sean Miller can coach. Sean Miller's a good coach. If you think removing the coach is your answer, you would be wrong in that. He is still a very good coach. I would be surprised if something like this happened, especially with a new athletic director. There's no reason to look at Sean Miller and say he is the problem. My thing is, it's a top-to-bottom arrogance of a program that hasn't done anything since Lute Olson was there. With all the talk and all the rhetoric, when I say do something, at least get to a Final Four. At least have the bus drop you off at the Final Four. I've never said you have to go win a championship. That's unrealistic. That's not fair just to say you've got to go win a championship. I'm just saying, for look, as much as you guys like to talk, and as much as I hear about they landed this player and that player, and it's atop this recruiting class and atop that recruiting class, you never deliver. You haven't. And so today there's panic in the streets. I think Sean's a very good coach. I think U of A has a nice program. That's about it. They're not elite. If you say you're elite, you're just gauging your success off regular season championships, which bring you exactly what? You're gauging your success off of dudes that sit in front of computers and rank recruiting classes, which brings you exactly what? You know, they have another terrific recruiting class next year. Exactly what does that gotten you in the past? Where have you gone with this in the past? Now, the fact that it is Tucson, this isn't bashing on Tucson. This is a fact. It's like Market 258. This is the only game in town. It's nice to have hockey down there. It's nice to have college football down there. This is your measuring stick. When the baseball team won a World Series, okay, that's not near as what it would be when Lute Olson, not would be, when he did, when they went to Charlotte and they did win. We have all these former U of A players that are so proud of their program. It's great. I've marveled at when they go into cities for March Madness, how the alumni shows up in big numbers and the former players show up in big numbers. I've marveled at that. I think it's terrific. There's nothing close to that in this state. Nothing. This isn't about ASU. This is about how your program once again failed. In the biggest game of the year, you allow a team to shoot 52% against you. Well, you got to give credit to the other team. You're being unfair. No, you have to play some defense. You decide to go 7 of 27. What do you mean decide? They play defense on it. No, you took 27 threes in your biggest game of the year, so you died by the three-point shot. The better team won. You may disagree with it. I've gotten some of that today. The better team didn't win. That's just the way it works in March Madness. It comes down to a position here, a position there. You would be thrilled if you were part of our team. What school did you go to? How's your team do? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm not sitting here poking you in the eye. You are supposedly a top, according to many of you, a top five program, one of the top programs in the country. Look, Duke got eliminated. I got some of that last night. Well, you're not beating up Duke. That's Duke's won. You're not Duke. You're in Tucson. That's it. This is the biggest thing going in Tucson. And so when it comes to an end, you don't have anything to fall back on. I got lots of things to fall back on. I got the NFL owners in town next week. I got the start of Major League Baseball here in the Valley next week. I got the Final Four here next week. I got a really cool story, the opening of professional soccer up here, a stadium. You're left to another year where you come up short. And I think part of it is just there are times where I look at Sean and I think the UCLA timeout, he just puts bullseyes on his back. It was completely unnecessary. Things like that don't need to happen. A few years ago when he went off on the Pac-12 officials, that's him sticking up for his program. Fine, but you're going to have some people that when you don't have success, that are going to point it out. If you're happy today with being in the Sweet 16, then admit you just have a nice program. You do not have an elite program. You don't. You can't defend my argument. I don't care how many guys go on to the NBA. That even is more of an indictment. When Lauri Markkanen, in all likelihood, becomes a lottery pick this year, okay? When he, in all likelihood, becomes a lottery pick, and whenever Trier decides to leave and he goes on and plays in the league, we're going to hear all this bear down and how great they were and exactly what did they accomplish? They went to the Sweet 16. Well, that's a given with this program. So, I mean, I'm not sitting here beating you up. I'm merely pointing out that the reaction has been somewhat comical here in the last 12 hours. It really has been. And the numbers don't lie as to why you lost. And the way that you lost with an easy layup on one end of the court by Xavier, and on the other end of the court, a desperation three. And that's the best that you could come up with two guys inside that had pretty much dominated most of the game. Even the last possession that was Ristic's shot that came up short was not a great possession. U of A looked nervous. U of A looked out of gas. U of A looked like the 11 seed. They didn't look like a 2 seed. I'm going to have Goody at the movies later on. I'm going to circle back on this in a few minutes. The Suns did something brilliant last night I want to get to. It's a Friday show, Fun Feckless Friday. I'm in a fine mood today. I would have been in a better mood had U of A won, the way they went about their business. And you tell me, today should be just a gut-wrenching day. If I get any more of these, well, it's been a terrific season and you would give anything. No. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. I'm going to circle back on the March Madness games tonight. There's only one game I really care about, and I'll do that in about 10 minutes. More on U of A. Several of you are emailing me in the story from the Big Lead today about has Sean Miller been a success in his run at U of A? Some of you are U of A fans. Some of you want me to go after him, and I'm not doing that. I'm not going after Sean Miller. Sean Miller's doing a nice job in Tucson. A lot of programs would love winning 30 games a season. They would. But if you aspire to be great, then be a great program and get beyond the Elite Eight. Just don't give me this, we are this and we are that, and you can't get to a Final Four. Just, I don't want to hear it. When you lose to 11, I don't want to hear it. So the NFL is coming to the Valley on Sunday. This is going to be, gosh, this is going to be a crazy week coming up. This coming week, starting tomorrow night we have the opening of a stadium, which is always a big deal. Even if you're not a soccer fan, it's sold out tomorrow night for Phoenix Rising FC. That is tomorrow night. I am going to that because it's one of these community things you need to be at. When a stadium opens and you're trying to get another professional franchise here in the MLS, we have to be at that in our industry. We should all be at that tomorrow night in our industry. We won't. Many of them are just off for the weekend doing their thing. You got to take this serious. This is day in and day out. It's a big deal tomorrow night. And then Sunday, we have the NFL owners coming to the Valley. Now, what is the point of this? There are so many rule changes. There's 15 new rule changes in the NFL that they're going to consider at the Biltmore. And it's a who's who. It's a trade show of sorts. The owners will be there. The coaches will be there. The general managers will be there. Agents will be in the lobby. There will be people there trying to get jobs within the NFL, trying to sneak their way in. Lots of clip-on ties, guys with resumes, trying to figure out a way to bump into somebody, anybody, to please hire me to get into the league. It's great. There's a breakfast where the coaches are at a table, and you can go in there and just sit and get some FaceTime with them and get some good content. And there's going to be plenty to talk about, and that is day after tomorrow. And that's going to go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The NFL owners are here in the Valley at the Biltmore. The Raiders moving to Las Vegas is going to be front and center. They're going to shorten half times. What does that really mean for you guys? Quicker bathroom breaks, I guess. I don't know. They want to have full-time officials. They want to eliminate certain rules. There'll be lots of discussions. Adrian Peterson's name is everywhere. Today it's with Green Bay. Is that going to come to fruition while he's here? Colin Kaepernick is still sitting around out there. At some point, is Colin Kaepernick going to say there's collusion against me not getting a job in the NFL and I'm going to take some action? I don't know. So there's things of interest to me in the NFL that are going to be taking place Sunday through Wednesday, and I'll be out there. Then you have the Final Four rolling in here on Thursday, and the Final Four games will be Saturday, a week from tomorrow, and then the championship game on Monday night. And the Diamondbacks open their regular season, and that's something we need to be at. And it's great that we have a professional baseball team here, even if they're not good or even if there's not questions. So all this stuff is happening in the next 9 days. It's great. It's why we're here. Busiest sports market in America people don't know about or don't talk about. But there are some other stories outside of that. I want to get to one in a minute. Let me just briefly, because I don't want to go through all the minutiae of these changes that the NFL is considering. This is really where the NFL starts to flex its muscle. They're going to throw all this stuff out at the meetings. The Raiders moving from Oakland to Las Vegas is front and center. The aftershocks of the Raiders, if in fact it is approved for them to leave Oakland, would include things like Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, admitting this last couple of days that they could move the Pac-12 championship football game to Las Vegas, just like they've done with the Pac-12 tournament. That would be a brilliant move. It just would be. I think that you will see Las Vegas try to get involved in a Final Four. If, in fact, the Raiders move, then there would be a facility. So there are huge ramifications. Las Vegas suddenly would look at franchises that aren't happy with their current building situations in, let's just say, hockey. But they already have a hockey franchise coming. They would have a facility up there, though, that could house basketball. They could have a facility up there that could do some preseason games in the NHL outside of their existing franchise. They could be used as leverage. Look, it's working in Vegas. It'll work in Portland. It'll work in Seattle. It'll work in Kansas City, the three cities that are looking at going after the hockey team that's here. They could do pro soccer up there. There's just lots of things that the NFL is the linchpin that could lead to other business taking place in Vegas. The leaper block attempt on field goals, crowning the helmet, which could be, you know, when you lead with your helmet, is there going to be automatic ejections for targeting in the National Football League? Other challenges that coaches have, I mean, it's getting to the point where you're going to need an assistant to the head coach that's going to sit there that knows all these things and doesn't do anything else other than here's what you can do and can't do. If the league decides to go with full-time officials, it's about time, from my view. Why has this not happened in the past? It's too important. So that's coming up. The Suns did something last night I never thought would be possible, and it hasn't happened before, and I hadn't thought of it until I saw the starting lineup for them last night. The Suns last night, A, they did something really smart. They got blown out by the worst team in the league, Brooklyn. The Suns lost by 28 to Brooklyn, the worst team in the league. The Suns, though, put out the youngest starting lineup in the history of the NBA last night. This is taking tanking to the level that it should have been at a month ago. You guys tell me. So last night, they started Tyler Ulis, who's 21. They started Devin Booker, who's 20. They started Derek Jones, who's 20. They started Marquese Chris, who's 19. And they started Alex Len, who's 23. He's the old man graybeard. Now, they could have been doing this a month ago, right? Could have easily been doing this a month ago and easily been pushing Brooklyn to have the best opportunity to have the number one overall pick in the draft. But no, they wanted to win a couple meaningless games. They just felt like they had to do it. So last night, the Suns starting lineup was younger than seven of the eight teams that were playing in the Elite Eight last night, or the Sweet 16, I should say. Seven of the eight teams in the Sweet 16 had a more experience in terms of age lineup than an NBA team. So you can look at this a couple ways. You could look at it as the Suns are rolling out a product that you're paying full value on your tickets, and they are ripping you off. You could look at it as they are rolling out a product and doing exactly the right thing, and you should be all in and support them as they go about their process of trying to get the number one or number two pick in the draft. No guarantee they'll get it right. Case in point, Alex Len, a top 10 pick, top seven pick. So the fact that they do this, I think, is admirable. This is great. Please keep rolling this lineup out for the rest of the season. Even find a way to sit Alex down. Just do that. Let's get everybody down to 20. And let's put a product out on the floor that we can all be proud of over the last 3 weeks that goes about its business in Tankapalooza and loses every single last game. They actually, the Suns put this little lineup out there. They actually led 20-5 last night to Brooklyn, the worst team in the league. You have to understand this, the magnitude of this. They found a way to get completely destroyed by the worst team in the league by 28. That's taking tanking to a whole new level. It's amazing what's going on with our NBA team. On the other side, more college basketball, including tonight, the game that I'm most interested in. We'll go through some of the others, some other March Madness, Goody at the Movies in about 15 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, so tonight, there's four more games around March Madness, and I'm going to circle back on U of A here in a minute. Goody at the Movies, he's got three movies in about 10 minutes. The only game I care about tonight is UCLA and Kentucky. No offense to Butler and North Carolina. Really don't care about South Carolina and Baylor. And Wisconsin, Florida is fine, but the game I'm going to make sure that I watch tonight, I can TiVo the others, DVR others, is UCLA and Kentucky. So, and there's many reasons for this. Growing up out on the West Coast, I enjoyed watching UCLA quite a bit. I just think that that program back then was at the end of the wooden era, and I can still recall some of the great players that they had, and UCLA has gone through their downside. Since I've come out here to Arizona for the last 20-plus years, I don't sit there and root. I think it's always great when UCLA plays U of A, when UCLA plays against Arizona State. I don't understand for the life of me why next year the Pac-12 has put it out there that they're not going to have U of A at UCLA. The Arizona schools will not go to the LA schools next year. It's just every year there's a spot where they don't go to the other team. They only play them once. I believe this year was Colorado and Utah. So next year, UCLA, U of A will not happen out in Pauley Pavilion. And that's just ridiculous. That said, anytime that I can watch Lonzo Ball, who easily is the most entertaining player to watch in the college game, I don't care about LaVar Ball. We've done, actually, I think it's very smart. I saw where Scott Van Pelt's finally done with LaVar Ball. Yeah, we've done that dog and pony show enough. Actually, thought about chasing him to come on the show about a week and a half ago. I threw out there, what are the Suns going to do if this guy's really controlling his son? And then I had to talk myself off the ledge and say, no, we're not going to go get him. He'll talk into any microphone. He's red light LaVar. Any camera that's rolling, he's going to say stuff. And I just don't care now. So I do care about watching him play. UCLA, not only do they have Lonzo Ball, but they have TJ Leaf, who was supposed to be at the U of A and changed his mind. And he's terrific. You look at this game tonight, and I really believe UCLA's height and their size. The Bruins have everything. They do. Sometimes they jack up three-pointers too quickly for my liking. But I think the bigger the stage, the bigger that Lonzo Ball will shine. There's times this year where I'm not going to say he disappears, but he's so unselfish that by the time a game ends and you look at the stat sheet and it's, you know, 9 assists and it's 6 rebounds and it's 2 points and it's stuff that doesn't even show up in a box score. It's just the leading pass, or it's how he's so in control and how fluid he is. If you have not watched him, you must, if you claim to be a sports fan, if you have not watched him, if all you've done has been caught up in what the dad has said or how the dad has acted, and you haven't given the kid a chance, then you're missing out. You really are. He is worth the price of admission. He is worth, which is sitting on your couch and watching the game or going to the local pub and watching the game. We've seen guys that have come through every now and then. The closest comparison I can come to watching Lonzo Ball play is Magic Johnson or Jason Kidd when he was at Cal. That's the closest. When Magic was at Michigan State, Magic Johnson was every bit of Lonzo Ball. And Lonzo's, you know, for as goofy as his shot is, when you watch his shot, just the form and the follow through on it, you'll say, what is that? It works for him. Magic was not a great shooter when he was in college at Michigan State. He wasn't. He became a better shooter when he got into the league. So if you're 20, you know, if you're 15, if you're 30, 35, and you didn't see Magic Johnson play, this is what it was like. There was buzz in the air. No offense to Butler. Butler's a nice story. North Carolina, that's a team that's up and down in my view. From what I watched of Baylor, South Carolina, I guess when I see Baylor, I just expect there to be an announcement that somebody is on suspension or being investigated after all the crap that's gone on down at that university. Wisconsin, Florida, it's fine. But it's nothing near Kentucky and UCLA. And there's a reason why it's the late game, and there's a reason why it's on CBS. It's going to start at 9:30 on the East Coast. It's the latest game. It's the game that is most popular by a long, long way. So I'll be watching that tonight. This has nothing to do with Pac-12. I don't care about Pac-12. You know, the other games from last night. So, and I'll circle back on U of A here, and then we'll take a break for Bill. The other games from last night and how they played out. So now we're down to Xavier and Gonzaga. And Gonzaga survives and advances after, I thought, a poor possession by West Virginia. Another guy that gets the ball out front and pounds nails. That's what I call it, pounding nails. All he's doing is, I'm going to take this last shot, and I'm going to pound nails, in this case, the basketball, into the floor, and I'm going to put up a shot that's not good. And on social, everybody that's seen on the bar that I was in last night was screaming at the TV, what kind of possession was that? There's 4 teammates, but you want to be the rock star. You want the one shining moment. The Oregon game last night and how that played out at the end. That was not a good possession by Michigan. It wasn't a good possession. You know, and Kansas just blew right through Purdue. So you have Oregon and Kansas, and Oregon has become a very good story. If Oregon loses here in the Elite Eight, given they lost their best interior player, That's still a hell of a run by Dana Altman. That's a great run by him. And Kansas can be hit and miss, in my opinion. If Xavier beats Gonzaga, U of A has got to be, U of A fans and U of A's coaching staff and U of A's public relations people have to be rooting like crazy for Xavier to win, because then they can spin it real easy. Well, you know, you guys are on us about, you know, losing a Sweet 16 and look at how great Xavier was. If Gonzaga blows the doors off of Xavier tomorrow night, then it really is an indictment on U of A for what happened last night. It really is. You know, Xavier may run out of gas. Xavier, this may be it for them. They may be cooked after putting so much in to eliminating U of A last night in the Sweet 16 that they may be done tomorrow night. So, you know, both those games in different sorts of ways are intriguing to me. The early game is Gonzaga and Xavier. That's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's TV executives saying nobody nationally is really going to log on to this. In the late game, you've got the Oregon Nike-backed Ducks, and you've got Kansas, and that'll be the late game near 6 o'clock tomorrow night. But back on U of A, go through the, if you're a U of A fan, and you're sitting there today saying that was a great season, that was a great run, then you're just never going to be objective about the whole deal. You will just always be a fan. You'll say through thick and thin, I'm with my team. You will not look at it and say, well, we had a lottery pick in this Markkanen kid. We had all this size. We had all these supposed top recruits in the country. What? Something's not right here. But if I continue to get the, you know, bear down and all that nonsense after you get eliminated in a Sweet 16 game, are you kidding me? Well, we average 30 wins a year. Is the ultimate prize winning a championship? You do not get any trophies or participation medals for finishing the Sweet 16 and losing to an 11 seed. You don't get that. Anger and angst should be the order of the day. Good Eat the Movies is next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and it's another March where U of A is eliminated before the Final Four, it's time to take a break from all this and look into the movies. Bill Goodykunst, chief film critic for Gannett. Always good to have Bill with us in AZ Central. First of all, let's get into the tournament.
You know, there's only ever been a couple of Marches where that was not the case.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And I was there, by the way, 20 years ago when Arizona won.
You were in Charlotte?
No, it was Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
And they sent me sort of a last minute, so, you know, it was weird getting credentials. I didn't have a credential. I had to scalp a ticket, and I sat amongst Kentucky fans.
Yeesh.
And ended up writing a lot about them, and that, particularly when they started to lose, that was an experience.
Did you watch last night?
I watched most of it. I was hosting a film also, but I went next door and I watched it, and then did that thing where I followed it on my phone. And it's a different experience if you've ever had that, trying to follow something like on your phone. Like, I wasn't watching it on my phone. I was doing like the GameCast thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And even on the phone, and I don't know how to describe this any other way, even on the phone, you could see the momentum being lost. and it plays out like almost like listening to it on the radio or something, I guess. But it's like somebody sending you these telegrams, and it's just like from like a war zone, and you're just like increasingly desperate situation, like send reinforcements.
Anything.
And at some point, it's just like it just ain't going to happen.
It's another year. You've got three movies today. So one of them.
By the way, 12 movies open this weekend in Phoenix.
12. Gosh almighty.
Yeah, I think I have 15 reviews and interviews at moviesazcentral.com. So
you should get paid by the word there. So doing
just
well.
This week.
Raw. So Raw doesn't look like it's happening for me, but I'll let you tell this story.
I'll explain why it's not. It's a really cool movie by a first-time filmmaker, and she's great. It's about a girl who goes to vet school in France, and evidently they haze you pretty harshly in France at vet school. She and her family are vegetarians, but there's this hazing ritual where they have to eat like a little bit of a rabbit's kidney or something, just like a little tiny, you know, little bit. but they dump blood on them and stuff, just, you know, gross stuff that they do. And for some reason, this makes her have this insatiable hunger for meat. And as it turns out, she's not picky about where she gets it. And so, I mean, including people. but what it's sort of a metaphor for like body issues and just for like that weird, you know, going away and being on your own and stuff like that. It works on a whole lot of levels, but it is really, really gory.
Is this spurned by Walking Dead and the success of Walking Dead?
I mean, certainly that there are some echoes of that, but I don't think it's that necessarily. I think that this is, I talked to the woman who made it actually, and she's very, I mean, you know, she's a lot smarter than I am, but she talked about, her inspiration really are the David Cronenberg movies, where he uses some sometimes really sort of disgusting body and, you know, sort of violent images to make his point. It's kind of an interesting thing for like a young woman to be inspired by.
Yeah. I just want to know if this is like a date movie. Hey, this is our first date. What are we going to go see? We're going to go see Raw. Yeah,
if your date is Morticia Adams, maybe. Yeah. It's
T2, Trainspotting 2. So I didn't see Trainspotting 1. Is this going to be good? Is this worth seeing?
It's going to be less good because you didn't.
So I need to see the first one.
And you should see the first one. The first one is great. Okay. It's Danny Boyle who won an Oscar for Slumdog Millionaire. He's done all kinds of movies. A lot of and everything he does is different. He directed Steve Jobs. He directed 127 Hours, where James Franco plays the hiker that had to cut off his own arm. He just bounces from thing to thing. And so it was really, I talked to him too. It's really weird for him to do a sequel because it's just not his thing. But he said he thought that he was interested to try it to see if he could do it. And part, I will say this, they show part of the first movie in the second one. They kind of do these like ghost images of it over the top of it. But it's Ewan McGregor and all those guys, and you know they're back in Scotland. They were in the first movie, they're heroin addicts, and they've all but one of them has stopped doing heroin. But they're still kind of losers. But it's funny and it's sort of poignant. I mean, they're older and they're not much wiser. But you might find it a bit of a struggle if you didn't see the first one.
All right. And then you're not doing Power Rangers, which I'm very blessed.
I did, but I saw it.
Yeah, I'm just blessed that we're not doing Power Rangers. But you are doing a movie made by ASU students. You do want to talk about Car Dogs. And I just have here in my notes, it was made by a bunch of 85 ASU students. Tell me about this.
Well, it was made by, also, I mean, it was directed by a real director who also happens to be a visiting professor at ASU, a guy named Adam Collis. And he's extraordinarily passionate about this movie, I think it's fair to say. But as part of this, they shot it like 3 years ago. But it's got a real first-rate cast. I mean, Octavia Spencer is briefly in it. And it's set, and the guy who wrote it's from Scottsdale. And it's about a Scottsdale car dealership where the guy who owns it is just this horrible, almost like fairy tale-like villain. And his son wants his own dealership, and the dad will let him do it if they can sell 300 cars in one day. So it sort of does a whole bunch of different things. It's pretty good. It's a lot better than you think it would be. 85 ASU students served with a regular crew and cast as interns. Hmm. And in the time since, a lot of them have gotten jobs. I mean, like good jobs in movies. So they're releasing it out of here, out of Phoenix, and the premiere was here in Phoenix. So their selling point is that they're really trying to make it this kind of new model for how to make independent film and how to get it released and stuff. And, you know, when you hear that, you think, oh, then the movie's probably terrible. And I was pleased that the movie is not terrible. It's not great. It's the kind of thing you've seen a lot before. But the cast is good, and it ain't bad.
It's at Camel View?
It's in all kinds of places. It's
really?
All over town.
Good.
Yeah, Harkins is opening it, and I don't know if it's in, I don't think it's in all of their theaters, but it's in most of them. You wouldn't have to go too far to see it.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the trailer right now, and it looks like it's shot all around the valley. There's scenes that are very familiar.
Right. You can see everything. It is dated, though. Like, there's a Rex Chapman joke in it.
Oh, got it. It's like, well, I can only imagine what that's like. so if I have one movie to see, whether it's any of these three or something else out there this weekend, because I think I'm going to find some space, maybe even tonight, what is the one movie I've got to take Mrs. C to go see?
Well, if you didn't see Beauty and the Beast, you probably got to go see that.
12-year-old can go with her that one. I know how that the boat sinks at the end. Come on, I know what happens in that
one. You're the last two in the United States who didn't see it, evidently.
Maybe.
It's huge. I don't know. There's a new Terrence Malick movie called Song to Song that actually has a bit of a story to it this time. So that's okay. Power Rangers tries really hard for about an hour to be a real movie.
Oh, God.
But then it just kind of gives up. It's weird. There's all these movies opening, but there aren't really any great ones. There is one terrible. The worst movie I've seen this year is the remake of Chips.
Dreadful.
It's really arse. I mean, you can't take your kid or anything, which is an interesting choice to make it a movie like that. But it's almost worth seeing just to see how bad it is.
So when you're stuck in this is a question I've had people ask me to you. Can Bill walk out of movies? When you have to go screen something like that and review, you've got to sit there from start to finish, right?
Yeah. I mean, I gave a little talk yesterday to a group, and somebody asked me that question too. Every now and then you'll see somebody that writes about, oh, it was so bad I walked out or whatever. I think that's crap. My job when I was a cop reporter, even if it was a bad neighborhood or it was a bad crime or it was something like that, my job was to go cover that story.
Mm-hmm.
When I wrote in sports, even if it was a bad game or something I didn't want to write about, my job was to go to that game and write about it. If I'm a movie critic, and there aren't many left, by the way, if I'm a movie critic, my job is to sit there and watch that movie. I'm getting paid to do it. I'm not getting paid to walk out of something that I don't like. I mean, mm-hmm. that's part of it. Mm-hmm. I get paid to go watch any Star Wars movies. I mean, there's got to be some payback from that somewhere. I just feel like it's your job, and if you have any responsibility about it, you have to.
No.
You've got to do your job.
That's why I admire you for that. I appreciate your time. Thanks.
All righty.
See you later. There's Bill Goodykins, Goody at the Movies. Good to catch up with Bill. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There is plenty of content up on our website right now. Probably too much content around U of A losing. I still have one column left in me I got to get out. Just, you know, if you're going to write that they've got to make it to the Final Four and they don't, then I just didn't want to do it last night. You sit down and I'm going to write some things that I'm going to regret or that aren't really quite right. I need to step back and then bring this is when you bring the sledgehammer. You do not bring the fly swatter and say, they gave it a good college try. No, that doesn't happen when you get eliminated in the Sweet 16. It just doesn't. So that'll be up at some point today. And, of course, the NFL meetings this weekend, the FC Rising FC match and their new stadium and all that will be this weekend, too. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Thanks for being with us.